I'd like to welcome you all to the first city council meeting of 2014, and we'd like to start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item 1.02 is a roll call. I see that's an easy task tonight. Everybody's here. Welcome. Some of us are new to some of you members who've been on the council for a number of years, so I'm going to start off. I'm going to tell you a little bit about me, and then I'd like to have the rest of you go around so maybe we could get to know some of you better. My name is Sean Logan. I was born here in Othello. I've been here for probably, well, my whole life. I've been in business in Basin Insurance for 30 years. I have three kids, and my wife is Lori. One of the things that I absolutely love to do and I'm crazy about is salmon fishing, and I'm rooting for Auburn tonight in the national championship game. Okay. So then we'll start with Corey and then have you go around, please.
Corey Everett, married to Tammy, my wife. I have a 9-year-old son, Dylan, and an 18-year-old son, Matthew, who is a sophomore at Central Washington University. I've lived here for pretty much the majority of my 46 years. See, I work for Consolidated Disposal. Been there for 19 years now. Most of you know me that way, any other, but that's pretty much about it. My hobbies, I've gotten into smoking lately, smoking meats. So that's turned into a pretty big hobby, and that's about it.
My name's Gina Doro, and I moved here in 1995 when I finally married Chris. I've been coming here since 1987.
That's the finally.
Yeah, that's the finally. And I grew up in Yakima and went to school at Central Washington University. I have a degree in biology, and I play taxi mom more than anything else anymore. Running my kids around. I've got Demi, who's in sixth grade. She's just turned 11, and Dakota, who's now a teenager and 13.
My name is John Lawless. Came here in 1983, right out of college. Went to work for Pete DeGaris. Worked for him for 10 years. Have been working in McCain for 20. So I got married in 88 to a local girl. We have a daughter, she's 26. She's back here working now. Finished with college, and that's about it. I have no hobbies.
Work.
Work.
Name's Ken Johnson, business owner here in town, running Johnson's Glass. I've did that job for over 28 years. I have four great kids that I've raised in this city, and now they've all stayed home. I've got five grandkids here, and that seems to be my hobby anymore. As my grandkids, I love to play with them. I'm on my 13th year as a council member, and I enjoy it very much.
My name is Dan Deaver. I first came here in the winter of 1955-56 when the beach froze to the ground. Then I went into service. I came back, got married in 1960. Moved here. We have three children. I taught school here for 20 years. I had Ken Johnson in class. I had Gina Doro's husband in class. I had Charles Garcia in class. So I'm pretty well connected around here. I knew him when I didn't have him in class. But that I started teaching here 40 years ago. It's hard for me to believe it's been that long. So, and in September, in June, it will be 20 years since I retired. I enjoy doing what I do. As far as a hobby goes anymore, it's taking care of my wife.
Thank you, Dan.
Eugene Bame. I've lived here for 23 years. My wife and I are small business owner, Studio 7 hair salon here in town, and two kids, 15-year-old girl and a 12-year-old boy. And I'll let that get out. Hobbies, I just love to play on four-wheelers and church, and main thing, my family.
Mark Snyder, married to my wife Rhonda. We have two girls. One of them is married and the other one's engaged, got a one-year-old and one on the way. So that's my hobbies, kind of like Ken there. Our family moved here in 1969. So basically just grew up here, went to school here. Been on the council for, this is my seventh year. And was on the Planning Commission, there we go. Before that.
Thank you, everyone. I think it's nice to get to know each other a little bit more, and I'll talk more a little bit about that later. I intend, as the mayor, to have the council meetings will be a little different. Rather than have during the regular meetings, this is a workshop. We will have a citizen input portion to our meetings, but at the same time, I attended council meetings now for about the last year and a half and 2 years, and one of the frustrations I had is that sometimes my juices didn't get flowing until the discussion started on some of the agenda items, and at that point, I wanted to participate. I wanted to talk. I wanted to give the council the benefit of way maybe I saw things, and so what I intend to do, some of this is gonna be a work in progress, but I want to allow the audience and the members of the public to be able to raise their hand and speak to an issue when we're in a discussion about an issue, and that way they can give us the benefit of their wisdom and what they have. If it becomes disruptive to the flow of the meeting, then we're gonna have to do something to change the format. But as long as that continues on, and it's appropriate, and the comments are appropriate, then I think that is the best governance that we can have with our community. So we're gonna try that for a while, see how that works. If someone has, on the council, if they have other ideas, something else they'd like to see, certainly you can talk to me about that later. Right now, let's go back to our agenda. Our current business is under 2.01 is the development of the park and rec creation pricing plan. And Molly, maybe you could give the city council and the new members and myself an update as to hear what your task is and what you're undertaking, okay?
Thank you. Good evening, Mayor and Council. So today I'm here to discuss with the Council, new members and existing members, an item that the Park and Recreation Committee, Council Committee, had discussed back in October. As to kind of how they saw the department going in 2014, kind of what the plans were for parks and recreation, what we wanted to do with the parks fees, facility use fees, user fees, kind of how we wanted to go forward with that. And that came up as a result of just kind of going over our budgets and preparing for 2014, what we are going to project for revenue for the department. And so within that conversation is kind of how this developed. And so if anyone has any questions, I'll go through it. And then we thankfully have Dave Erickson, the Parks and Recreation Director of the City of Wenatchee, who's developed a policy that basically he has offered to kind of let us use as a model to develop ours. And so he has very graciously decided to join us, and he'll be talking about their program and how they develop theirs. So just to give you some more background, on October 4th, the Parks and Recreation Council Committee met to discuss, as I mentioned, the plans for the department in 2014 and the revenues that we were projecting and kind of how we had done in kind of a progress report for 2013. And so given that conversation, we went over our options, what to do for the next year. We kind of mulled over, it had been brought to our attention maybe the idea of changing fees or kind of seeing how we can improve our revenues for 2014. But as a committee and with the input of staff, we decided that for 2014 our parking and recreation user fees would stay the same as they were in 2014, they'd stay the same as they were in 2013. And with this, that would give us time to develop a park and recreation pricing plan throughout 2014. And we'll go over that in just a second. Like I said, Dave Erickson is here to discuss the City of Wenatchee's pricing plan, kind of the let us know the benefits that they've seen from it, how they've set that up. And so we put together a PowerPoint to kind of discuss our pricing plan, and we'll start with that. Okay, so as I discussed, when the Council Parks and Rec Committee met, one of the topics that was brought to light was the difference in the projected revenues we had in 2013 for the department. Then we had put on the budgets at the end of the fall in 2012. And this, the estimates that we had made weren't adjusted after the council and the council committee, excuse me, and staff had met with various community groups that these fees affected. And so we did not go back and adjust those fees. If they were reduced, it didn't matter. We just kind of kept them the same. And so it did look like we had a big revenue. We were missing a lot of revenue when really we just hadn't gone back and fixed those to account for the new fees that we had adopted in 2013. So that was one of the topics that the council committee and staff went over, was how do we kind of improve that over the next couple years, and how can the Park and Recreation Department do that? So the council committee and staff decided to, we discussed our options for different services, like I said, whether it's amending fees, raising them, lowering them, different programs that we saw for the department. And within this meeting, we had brought to the, or staff had brought the idea of developing a park and recreation pricing plan. And we gave the packet that you'll see that's attached to your council packet, the Wenatchee Parks and Recreation Pricing Plan. That was brought to staff, and we kind of went over that, or brought to council. We went over that and kind of discussed how they had developed it, how those fees were affecting the different groups in their community, what the benefits that they had seen. And after discussion, the Council Park and Rec Committee decided that they would like to move forward with pursuing and developing a park and recreation pricing plan, and would in 2014 would then serve as a year to kind of develop this plan and to get all of our facts, are, you know, the money that goes into all of our operations, whether it's field, whether it's our baseball fields or our shelters or pool operations. So the current contracts of the Parks and Recreation Facility User Groups that expire in 2015 include the Othello Youth Baseball and Softball League, as well as the Othello Barracuda Swim Team. So like I said, given the development of this program for 2014, that actually puts us in line with when these contracts are expiring. So A park and recreation pricing plan is a policy that provides consistent guidelines for the establishment of fees and charges for parks and recreation facilities, programs, and services. What the city of Wenatchee has done is converted this policy into a informational guide that is available to citizens or anyone in the community so they can understand how the fees were implemented, what formula we're using, and kind of all the costs that we have associated with that. So it very much is a way to be transparent, for our government to be transparent, to be able to show citizens how we came about these fees and how they affect them. And, you know, it provides across-the-board cost recovery formula for all programs and facilities based on that facility's function for the community. It establishes criteria to define core programs and facilities and non-core programs and facilities for the future. So if we implement new parks and recreation programs, we can just fit them in and we know where they go, how much they're supposed to make, how much of the direct costs that go into it they're supposed to make. And so we basically, it can grow and change with the city as we grow. It's a multi-step process that requires approval and lots of coordination with the Parks and Recreation Committee. And so that is something that we decided every step along the way as we decided what are core programs, what are not core programs, how much money do we want to make back from each program or facility or activity. That will be something that's decided and the council will be updated on all along the way. So the benefits of a park and recreation pricing plan, as I said, is it's a pricing structure for all programs and facility pricing. It provides transparency by publishing a guidebook outlining the pricing process, itemized budget and cost recovery data that's available for citizens and committee members, staff. That way, if anybody has a question and it's not addressed there, it can be brought to staff, but also just to kind of shed some light as to how we got about things and how we came about our formulas and stuff. And so I believe that would be helpful and kind of create that camaraderie within the community to make it feel inclusive that, you know, we want to make that information available. It allows the city to recoup an outlined percentage of direct and indirect costs for each program and facility, and that is decided upon between the council committee and staff. Provides criteria for yearly review to ensure fees are current with yearly expenditures. So every year we can go through and kind of have, you know, we'll have our pricing plan and we'll say, okay, well, what did we spend this year? And if we need to adjust, we can. But we already have that formula set up, so it's not going to be a huge time. It's not going to be a time waster. You know, we're going to have it set up and we can tell right away what we can project for the next year. And it also allows the public to anticipate any changes given the established yearly evaluation schedule. And so then, you know, when we have changes, it's not going to be that big of a, I guess, it's going to be something that we can anticipate, that the people in the community can understand, you know, we saw in the pricing plan that this next year they're going to go through this. And given the formula we have, we understand that might go up next year. So. And it also creates revenue sustainability and allows us to kind of project each year, have a more accurate projection each year of what we can expect from for revenues and expenditures for the department. So the fees that would be affected by this pricing plan would be include all of our current and future recreation fees, so swimming pool rentals, swimming pool general admissions, rental of the pool by competitive teams, recreation program registration, special event permits, picnic shelter reservations, and athletic field reservations. If you're working with a city that's Wenatchee that's on a larger scale, they have a lot more programs that are that would fall into this. But because, you know, we're getting this off the ground, these are the programs that would be affected by this. And so you might ask if a pricing plan fits Othello. Like I said, you know, Wenatchee is a bigger town. Is this something that is right for us? And I think so. I think a pricing plan has the ability to grow with our community. And as we hope to establish and grow the Parks and Recreation Department, we'll have it set up and staff can then devote their time rather than, you know, adjusting the fees each year. Then they can focus their time on establishing new programs and new new activities for the citizens to enjoy. And it does, and a pricing plan doesn't benefit a specific facility user or group and single out others. A pricing plan sets guidelines for fees based on their use, the costs and indirect costs, and rather than the facility or programs that are using it. So it kind of makes it equal for everyone across the board. And so where has a park and recreation pricing plan had success? Here to discuss the City of Wenatchee's pricing plan is Dave Erickson, Parks and Recreation Director. So I'll give him the floor here for a little bit, and then I will come back and finish off the presentation.
Thanks, Molly. Good evening, Mayor, Council. Thanks for having me, I guess it's down, this evening. Molly covered a good portion of this, but so I thought I'd give you maybe a little of the anecdotal stuff that we've gone through. When I first started in Wenatchee, I asked our recreation coordinator, supervisor, so how do you come up with the fees for our programs, day camp, that type of thing? Well, we just think it's right, and we're going to cover all of our costs. Well, okay, but they weren't tracking any of the budget information, so how much is your staff are you paying? You know, what supplies go to each program? We're tracking any of that. So first thing that we did was to get a handle on all of the expenses. We started tracking everything, breaking the employee expenses out by program, so we changed the time cards out. So now when an employee comes in, our temporary people come in, if they work for special needs programs and day camp and youth baseball, whatever it is, they write it down by program, so that way we can get that an accurate count of what expenses go with which program. That way then too, comes up later, talk about direct and indirect expense. That's an example of a direct expense. Indirect expense, the coordinator's time to put the program together. That's an example of an indirect expense. So we started tracking those two different things. It was about a year-long process because we have some programs that we only offer in the spring, some only in the fall, so it took us a year to get all that information together. Now with that information, we could say, all right, well, it actually, you aren't covering your costs for the day camp program. You're only covering 15%. So to cover that, the fees would need to be X. So that was a good starting point for us to determine whether or not we really wanted to recover all of those costs or not, and if so, for which groups. For our community, it was important that special needs population had a lower rate, or higher subsidy. Adult sports, on the other hand, now they can pay the full rate plus a bit more to cover those direct costs, but also the indirect costs that are associated with those. I guess I should get on track here too. Yeah, sorry. I think in the pricing plan, have you provided that to
you? Yes.
So everybody's seen that. In the back, there's an appendix on picnic shelter fees. We went through an analysis. We tried everything under the sun, at least the staff did prior to my arrival, on what was the best way to generate revenue, but then also try to cover some of our costs. So in that appendix, you see the various different models we looked at for picnic shelter rentals and revenues, and we increased our revenue by 30% just this last year by changing the way the fees are structured without increasing the fees, just a different way of collecting them. Let's see. There we go. So it's a multi-step process. It's a circular process to develop a plan and a model that would work best for Othello. First thing we did was set up the rationale and sort of the philosophy behind this. What do we want to do? What do we want to accomplish? What are those fee categories? Do we want to recover direct fees, indirect fees? For certain populations, higher dollar amounts, less dollar amounts for other populations. Took it along, as Molly mentioned, through our city council, through our park board, circular process back to the public again. We asked for citizen input. What things would you like us to recover? They say, we want this to be a break-even program. Great, okay, we put that in. We developed the different classifications for the program. So adult sports, youth sports, special needs, aquatics, facilities. Facilities are a little different. Swimming pool fees, that's a total different animal. Swim lessons, yeah, you can cover your direct costs, but for our pool especially, there's no way we're covering the indirect costs without charging $300 a person per lesson, you know. So we keep those fees down low and we do a comparative analysis on those fees. level of benefit. We also take a look at that in our merit pricing system, or whether it's a public service that we're providing, a 4th of July fireworks show, benefits the public, we're not going to charge people to come in. But a youth tennis program, we have a variety of those in the community, so that's going to be a merit priced, or excuse me, a private price system where it should be at market rates. Expectations, and then communicating the cost. We try to get this out to the public as much as we possibly could. You know, one of the biggest things when it first started, too, we were facing, if you ever followed the Town Toyota Center issue that we had in Wenatchee, if you're familiar with that at all, we had some service reductions. One of the things that was talked about was, let's reduce those non-essential programs. And so we developed a core versus non-core matrix and analysis for each program that we offer with a variety of criteria to determine whether or not it was an essential program that the community has come to expect, or non-essential, or one of those extra things that they like to have, but it's really not as essential. Through that analysis, then we determine that the park wading pool program that's been there since the 1960s, people come to the park, they get to cool off, we have recreation staff there leading programs, that was an essential or a core program. Youth tennis, not so much. That's more of a non-core. So we're able to separate those out by going through an analysis of specific criteria for each, and I believe those are in the plan as well. That would vary depending on your community versus other communities, but you can use a similar type of setup. We talked a little bit about the public services, the merit services, and private services, various different types, direct and indirect costs, we already talked about that, and then the level of benefit too. Again, at the very beginning, we established those goals, the pricing method for the variety of facilities, and then the recommendations, and those recommendations then went on through the park board process, through City Council. City Council actually did approve the pricing plan and that methodology last, I think it was March of 2012, now we're in 2014. And so they did approve those, and what we do is we take our fees back. We use that methodology to establish the fees to verify that they're still valid year after year. Every year, though, we adopt our fees by ordinance. I don't know if it's the same here or not, but so we can, staff can make those adjustments on the fees, take them back to the park board each year and say, well, based on our methodology, day camp fees this year should be $27 a week or whatever it is. And then we would take then that recommendation on City Council for approval. So it seems like it's worked pretty well so far. It really takes that whole, if the question comes up, well, are you covering all of your costs? Yeah, here's how we're doing it, and here's why. It really takes that question out of the loop. And it seems like it's been working pretty well so far, especially on the facility use fees, for sure. Really haven't had any pushback at all from the community on it. The only thing I can think of, we had a Barracuda swim team as well. We ended up having they used to pay, each swimmer would come in and pay individually every time they would come to the pool. And we went away from that model and went to per lane per hour charge instead. So it's like lap lane rental. It was better for the swim team because the kids weren't having to pay each time. We took a little hit on our swim admission side, but then you saw our pool rental fees go up, so it balanced out. Just a lot cleaner for us to deal with. Also, we had competitive swim meet rental rates for the pool, which we didn't have before, and that was something that we're still working on. One thing I would have liked to have, I gave Molly the agreement that we used, but would have liked to have added in, which we shouldn't have or should have, was a CPI inflator for one of our costs. That would have helped a little bit, but we have a 20-year agreement with the swim team. Similar 20-year agreement with Wenatchee Youth Baseball for our baseball fields. So different fee structure, different facilities, but they all seem to be working pretty well so far. I think I'm back to Molly. Oh, no, I did have one other thing. Different hats. Sorry, I wear lots of different hats. Real quickly, I brought some coffee in for you guys. I only brought seven.
Thank you.
7. One of the other hats I wear is I'm the Washington Recreation Park Association liaison to the Washington Community Forestry Council representing Eastern Washington cities. It's a mouthful. But I just want, since I was here, I wanted to let you guys know about the Tree City USA program, in case you weren't aware of it. There's four criteria, four standards to become a tree city. One is to have a tree board, which your city council or park board could be. Second is to have an Arbor Day proclamation or celebration. Third criteria is to have a tree ordinance. And a lot of your, sometimes your street ordinances, things like that, address trees or have something to do with street trees in there. And then the other is to have a $2 per capita spending, they call it budget, but it's really spending on trees in the city. It seems daunting, but it's really not. It's anything having to do with cleaning up leaves, pruning, planting trees, watering trees, fertilizing, planting, you know, anything, taking out stumps, whatever. And all of that goes to your criteria. Reason I mentioned the program is that it will help you score much higher on grant applications. There's I just got the text right before I came in, a new round of Department of Natural Resources Urban and Community Forestry grants out there right now. I've been successful in getting over $200,000 over the last several years for Wenatchee and other communities on that. Being a tree city, you'll score higher. There's 84 tree cities in the state. The grants that DNR offers are everything from tree planting to tree inventory assessment and analysis and appraisals. One good example of an appraisal that's out there, we had a city tree inventory completed with an appraisal also of each tree. DOT came in and did a street project where they had to take out a number of our trees, which totaled about $100,000. So we said, well, those trees you took out were $100,000, and they cut us a check. We had a guy, drunk driver, drive through the park, took out a tree. That tree was valued at $43,560. We got restitution on it. So there are some benefits as well as the grant side of things. The grants will also pay for your inventory and analysis, as I mentioned. So if you have questions on that, Lyndon, her card is in there. She's a great person to contact. I can help you through it as well. If you have questions, I'd be happy to answer them for you. Probably a later time. It's not on this topic, but I'm happy to help you out with that as well.
Thank you, Dave. So, in closing, where does the city of Othello go from here? So what the council committee and the Parks and Recreation Council committee and staff decided was that the programs, the park and recreation program services and facility fees for the city will remain the same in 2014 as they were in 2013. 2014 will serve as an information gathering period to develop our parks and recreation pricing plan. And that will be a step-by-step process, like I mentioned, with the Parks and Recreation Council meeting, and then all progress updates and at-hand tasks will then be brought to the council, and then as they develop, and any issues that need discussed will be addressed with the council prior to being implemented. And then once it's final, it will be brought and presented to the council as well. So. With that, does anybody have any questions?
Thank you, Molly.
You got any ideas for new programs for this year?
For new programs this year, we're actually, I looked into the city of Quincy, who have a lot of a population similar to ours. They have some programs where it is more, rather than doing city trips and stuff, they do have some city trips here and there, but they do have more affordable, almost family-friendly options. So they had a wine or a glass painting and craft night for families. They also have family game nights. And so that's something that we're looking into developing. And so hopefully we can have one of those here in the next 2 months. So I believe in the council or the department head reports, we mentioned the idea of a craft night here at the end of January, beginning of February. So, and we're also looking into new ways to kind of get the word out about that. So council will be briefed on that as we go. So,
have you been communicating with cities across the mountains, trying to solicit athletic events such as baseball, Little League, things like that?
Yeah, we have actually, we've been in contact with the number of softball tournaments we've had here, their representatives, and we had last year, I believe, one of the tournaments that was here, the Smash and Splash tournament, it brought it was a one-weekend tournament, but it was through, it was using fields in Ephrata, Moses Lake, and Othello. And so they have actually elected to not come back to Moses Lake and had asked if they could have more than one tournament here next year. So they're actually looking to three tournaments here. And all of our information, the advertisements that we had in the Outlook, those have been, those were distributed to the different tournament schedulers and coordinators in the Tri-Cities as well as Spokane and Yakima area, so we can try to get the word out more, and hopefully they can pass that on to other people and have those have more of those scheduled here. So, and our new rates were put on there, as well as the updates that we've done to the ball fields, so they can be aware of kind of, you know, what we're offering for the price. So.
I was looking at the committee assignments, and Gina and Eugene are on the Park and Rec Budget Committee. I was wondering, are you two also part of this committee?
I am.
You are?
And
Mark Snyder.
Charles was, and
Charles.
Mark Snyder, yeah.
So you guys are helping them develop this program, these goals, these outlines of priorities, and the pricing plan and everything that's going with it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was thrilled when Molly brought this to us, because it really is a far better methodology than just pulling a number out of our hat. Mm-hmm. You know, we could base it off of a few numbers that we had, but this is just, it's going to give us a far better and more accurate pricing than what we were able to do before.
And the component of the swim team, the soccer leagues, the base youth baseball, the adult baseball, they're all participating in this process with you?
We did discuss that, and kind of that was one of the things that we had talked about, you know, trying to make it more of a fluid process the next time we go about it. And so that was one of the things that we had talked about, assembling somewhat of a citizen community interest group that would sit in when we went and had each, you know, decided on our core programs, decided on our non-core programs, how much we want to make back. That way, that information was going to at least one representative and then could be passed on further. So that is something that the council committee has elected to do once we do develop this.
And so the pricing plan, which is the end result of all this work, is going to be anticipated next year at budget time? I mean, later this year at budget time, or by this summer, this spring? Do you guys have a deadline on this?
Well, we hope to have it in effect in 2015. Hopefully, those numbers we can have somewhat accurately more towards when we start the budget process, you know, more so after, you know, August, September time, when we're, when those resources aren't being used as much, we can kind of really get a good summary of all the costs and expenses that are going into it. Because, you know, the use goes down October and on, and so then we'll be able to get a more accurate estimate as to how much those facilities were actually used, the costs that were going into them, and we'll have a better, I guess we'll have more information to go upon rather than cutting it off just to be ready for budgets. But we can certainly use the preliminary information and to apply to the budget process.
Well, good. I applaud, you know, the effort. I guess the thing, having been on the other side of this a year ago, I felt that it was more, you know, an imposed scenario rather than it was a collaborative scenario. So I just want to encourage you to include those that are going to be affected by these fees in the discussion. So that would mean your Othello Youth Baseball, your Othello Soccer Leagues, the baseball leagues, the swim team, and also the Chamber of Commerce, and I think the more input you get from them too, from their perspective, that'll also help guide this process, and I think it'll be something you guys will all be proud of.
Can certainly do that.
Okay. Is there any more discussion for Molly? Anybody have any comments? Okay. Thank you very
Thank
much,
you.
Molly. And Dave, thank you for coming tonight. Yes. With regard to the tree, Dave?
Yes.
To the tree being a tree city? Give us a little time, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I
didn't know about that,
in
so
December,
yeah.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah, you've got lots. You've got a year.
Okay, good. All right, thank you very much. Thanks for coming.
It would be great just to have a little bit of that and bring us back some information.
Yeah. Gina, do you want to say that a little louder?
It would be great if staff would look into that and bring us back some more information on the Tree City USA program.
Fine.
Our next item to discuss on our agenda is 2.02, amendment to janitorial contract. Wade, did you have some information for us?
Yeah, Mayor, City Council, in your packets here, I believe you found the fourth amendment to the 2002 janitorial contract. As we said in the memo there, the previous mayor and the finance officer, and then towards the end of that, myself looked at ways to reduce cost. One of those looked like reduce the janitorial contract from 5 days to 3, and save $9,000 a year. We will look at that throughout the year, see if that still works for us, but we think it will. And like I said, save the city over $9,000 a year. So we request that you all approve this amendment to the contract. If you have any questions for me.
So instead of being here 5 days a week, she'll be here Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays.
Exactly.
With that, I'd entertain a motion to approve the contract as presented.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Motion made by Gina, seconded by Dan. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next item on our agenda is 2.03, 20,014 committee appointments. I'm going to make a confession as the new mayor that it's amazing how many committees we can get ourselves involved in. You want to be busy, go join a couple of committees. So right now, this list, you all have a list in front of you. The highlighting are reflective of council members who were on committees and are now not on the council. So I guess the first question I want to ask is there anyone here who currently is on these council committees that wants to get off a particular committee? You want to stay on the ones you're on so far, Gina?
Yep.
Ken?
Yep. Good.
Dan?
I'm good where I am right now. Gene? I can think of a couple places to go. Mm-hmm. Besides.
And Mark? I've got one that I'd like to be taken off of.
Okay. Which one is that?
Just, it's a time-wise thing. It is the Grain Osborne OHS Scholarship Committee.
Okay, let's see. Grain Osborne OHS Scholarship Committee, okay. And do you want to briefly describe you review scholarship applications in May, which are then awarded to, you know, Othello High School?
Go to the high school, go to the counselor office. They hand you a big stack of papers. You go through them, two of you, and the way we did it, each person picked out who they thought was a good fit for the scholarship. And then we took my picks, his picks, and then we put those together if they weren't the same already. And then we chose who was going to get the scholarship out of that.
So, is there anyone right now that would like to, that could say that they would like to take Mark's place on that committee?
When is it usually done?
May.
Well, is it like in the evening or lunchtime?
During school hours.
It's during school hours.
I need two people, actually.
If nobody else can, I can, but you guys could take it if you want.
The problem with it is it has to be done through the counseling office. I've done it several times for Lions Club. And, yeah, you just sit there and go through and say, well, this guy looks good and that one looks good. Well, maybe this one's better. And you finally come to a decision. I've done it before, so I'd be willing to do it again because it's, you know, it happens during the day and during the day I have time. And so I could do that if, you know, one of those two places.
Dan Deaver says yes. Gina Doro is by default.
You open your mouth, Doro.
I don't know. I'm available during that time, though, so.
Yeah.
I would like some direction from the council. There's a lot of these committees that Ken Kaler and Charles Garcia were on, especially Ken Kaler. And nice to see you in the audience, Ken and Barbara. So, do you want me to appoint tonight, or do you want to go back and review this list and I'll appoint him at the next council meeting next Monday night? Do you want a week to think about it, to look through these? Or do you? Well,
there is one particular one that I would like to ask the council for consideration, and that's the Adams County Development Council. Ken's been in that board since we almost created it, and he's been very active with the Adams County Development Council. And we have did this in the past with Everett Cole, where we left him on the Mosquito Control Board with past council members. And if nobody else would like that spot, and with Ken's okay, I would really like to keep him in that spot on the Adams County Development Council.
And I would entertain that as long as there's no other city council member who wants to be on that Adams County Development Council. So, at Ken Johnson's request, is there anybody here who would like to be on the Adams County Development Council? John?
What?
The Adams County Development Council?
No. I got a list I'm making for you right now.
Okay, you're making a list. Okay, good. Corey, have you made a list?
Of one. I've got one that I'd like to be on, okay. The SWAC.
Solid Waste Advisory? Mm-hmm. I think that'd be good.
Other than that, I'm open to anything.
Okay. You're taking this down, Debbie? Okay. Let's go. Yep. All right. So, I want to ask you a question, Debbie, then. If we don't, is it possible to appoint a citizen to these committees? Or is this specifically city council committees?
Some of them are citizens that were on the disability board, but as you read through them, a lot of them are very specific to council members.
Question, we can move on. Then is there any objection to Ken Kaler continuing to serve on the Adams County Development Council since nobody else wants it? There shouldn't be. Okay, good. Ken, are you willing to serve? Thank you very much. Take the line out of Ken Kaler's name, please. And let's get him back in. The Adams County Disability Board, left one. This is the only position that the City of Othello can recommend to be appointed by Adams County. They meet the second Thursday quarterly, March, June, September, December, and is there anyone here who's willing to serve on that committee?
Is there a way to get some kind of description of what the different boards do?
Disability Board, Left One, is a board that probably reviews disability applications, ongoing disability claims.
Debbie? All of that is county. So if you're a Left One employee.
Law enforcement or firefighter?
Yeah, all of the medical and dental is saved by your vision forever. This position, the council representative, has been shared with Ritzville before. Will Othello have a representative and then Ritzville would? But for the last couple of years, Ritzville hasn't had anybody want to do it, so we have to go on and talk about that.
We have a handful of Left employees.
Yeah, it's pretty important because, the majority of the Left employees are from the City of Othello that are on the Left.
So they review the expenditures that are submitted, and it's their decision, the Left Board's decision, whether to approve them or not.
What time of day do they usually meet, Ken? What time of day do they usually meet?
Yeah, Ken Kaler, on that Left Board, those meeting dates are not right. They meet on the last Thursday of each month. That was originally the second Thursday, and the only reason we did that was in December. All the rest of them are the last Thursday of each month. They generally meet at 11 o'clock in the morning. Lasts probably close to an hour by the time you get through, because you not only go through the city ones, but you also go through the county ones. So it's quite involved. You go through all the bills and everything, the medical, to be sure that they're right and correct, and then we approve them, and then they go on from there.
Do they meet here or in Ritzville?
Meet here. We meet over in the other county, in the county building. And also on that, Neil Wright is on there for the fire department, and I think they're talking about maybe a possible replacement for that. He hasn't been to several meetings. He actually lives in Spokane Valley, and he only gets down here occasionally, so I think that spot is basically open too. And I know we've been talking with fire chief and a few others, and we've got a person in mind to replace that person. So that's kind of up in the air there too.
That's good. Thank you, Ken. Is there anyone who is interested in serving on the Adams County Disability Board, Left One? Corey also volunteered to be on the Adams County Solid Waste Advisory Committee. We have three city council members that have been a part of the beautification for the Main Street. Ken Johnson, Gene Adoro, and Ken Kaler. And I wonder, do we need a third? Is two enough? Or was there someone who would like to be a member of that committee?
Dan, haven't you attended them anyway, always?
I stepped in, and then I was part of the beautification committee itself. So usually try and go if I can go to that. So it's during the day, it's at noon, so, yeah, I would step into that if you would, if you'd like.
I'd take that as a yes. Go on. Thank you, Dan. Budget Committee. Ken Johnson, Gina Doro, some members of the Budget Committee. Ken, maybe you could explain what would be involved on that.
Budget Committee, that...
Commitment, when, that kind of thing.
Basically, Spencer will set it up when it gets time to, and I believe the Budget Committee, that is the general budget portion one?
This first piece is just for the contract.
That's the contract ones. Okay, that one is to deal with all the city contracts that we have. We probably meet maybe twice a year. We'll meet once to go over it, preliminary, about budget time, to go over all the city contracts, and if we do need another one before the budget process, we'll have one more. So we need, say, twice a year during the budget process.
And Spencer usually sets those up and coordinates a good time for everybody. It's usually lunchtime, but...
Yeah.
And it is surprising how many contracts we do have with the city.
That committee interest anyone here?
I guess nobody else will do it, I'll do it.
Mark Snyder, thank you. Now, the Budget Committee, General Government, that's this other one that we go over is that like monthly? Or is that, how is that?
There are about 10 different budget committees that we have. All of these, most of these meet just once a year. It's just during the budgeting process. This is when...
So all these are just during the budgeting process?
Yes.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, then,
that
makes a lot more sense to me. So, since Ken and Charles aren't on the council, I need two council members to be a part of the General Government Committee. John? And Corey? Thank you.
What we did to help with some of the council members, because we all have different schedules and times, and we've been able to work out the times. For example, Eugene could do them in the evening and stuff. So we've been able to move these, especially during the budget time, if we need to have a 6 o'clock meeting or something to help.
Park and Rec Budget Committee. John, thank you. Water and Sewer. John. Solid Waste, John, thank you. Just keep it up, John, just hold the hand up and I'll just keep it up. Budget Committee Street Fund. Dan Deaver would like to be on that. Comprehensive Plan Review Committee. When was the last time that committee met? Do you guys remember?
Been a while.
When was the last time we met with Daryl? Wasn't it? Was it the one that leads that one?
Late November, early December, was it?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't go, but I'd do that.
Dan Deaver, thank you. Groundwater Management Area, John, thank you. We selected... I forgot. Who volunteered for the... Gene and Dan are going to do the Gray and Osborne Scholarship. Law and Justice Committee. They sent me a letter and asked me, so I'll replace Mayor Tim Wilson. Legislative Committee. Gina and Ken have been members of that. If it's okay, I'd like to be a member of the Legislative Committee as well. Um, Lodging Tax Advisory Committee that was just set up this past year, right? And...
I have just a question. Isn't the mayor usually in most of, like, the committee meetings with us?
The budget ones?
Yeah. Well, even like the Legislative Committee.
The Legislative Committee, too, we've also kind of set up so to deal with our local legislators.
Yes.
So...
But I was just going to say...
So I'll be involved anyway.
A lot of times, Tim would be in the meetings with us, even though there's like three council members. Tim would be there anyway, so...
So is there someone else who would like to be on that, John or Corey or Dan or Mark, on the Legislative Committee? Yeah, we have two and we need a third. I think apparently I'm on every committee that there's known demand, so... Okay, Dan? Lodging Tax Advisory Committee. Thank you, Gina, for that clarification. City Council Representative. This is basically a community and business-based group, and we need... You review the applications for the city used to just do that. You want to do that, Gina? Okay, good. Thank you. Park Committee. John, thank you. Park Committee Othello School District. We've got two raising, yes.
Park Committee, who is that?
John.
Park Committee Othello School District. Both of you want to be on? Does somebody want to get, you guys, Mark and Dan, you guys both fine on that? Or you want to...
Already on that.
I know you guys are both on, and two of them want to be on this, so if somebody wants to get off a committee?
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think that's...
So if somebody wants to get off the committee?
Sure.
You guys like being on it? Okay, Dan will get off, and we're going to have Mark, Gina, and John on that committee. Keeping up, Debbie? Okay. We have a pool committee. John would like to be on the pool committee.
Wasn't there two park committees? One for the Othello School. Did you get both those?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, sorry.
Did you have any?
Oh, that's fine. I don't want to take something from somebody else.
Yeah, Corey, I was going to say, if you would like to be on the pool committee, I would step off.
Committee member for the pool, John, and then it says Mayor Tim Wilson was on. It says alternate Mark Snyder. Was Mayor Tim Wilson an alternate, or he just was on it?
He was just on it.
Okay, I'll be on it. Street committee. We've got a committee, and it's existing council members. Is there an alternate who would like to replace Ken Kaler? Corey?
That's a daytime committee?
Usually they're around lunchtime.
They're around 10 o'clock in the morning, down at Public Works.
The city will schedule them, so, okay. Transportation Benefit District.
That's
pretty much an automatic, but I think at our next board meeting, I think we'll have to have confirmations of that at our next board meeting, I believe.
It seems like by the definition of how it's formed, all the council members are on it.
You don't have a choice. Not much. We're almost done here. The Union Negotiating Committee, of course, the mayor will be on that. John Lawless wants to be a member. We welcome you. And then we have a Water and Sewer Committee. And I'm John, unless it's Eugene. You didn't?
No, that's good.
Okay. All right. John, thank you, everyone, for volunteering. because if you hadn't, I would have just appointed at the next meeting. So this way, everybody gets to be on something that they have an area of interest in, okay? Thank you very much. Debbie, when you have the updated list, will you distribute that to the council? Thank you, and myself. Okay. My first day as the mayor was last Thursday in the office, and I had the benefit of meeting with Ken Johnson and our esteemed administrator, Wade Ferris, and we were talking about Othello. And as we were discussing Othello, one of the things that we realized is that Othello is bigger than any one man's dream. Othello is bigger than any one particular group's ideas. And the community at large, they, you know, have elected a city council and a mayor to accomplish things for the community. And one of the things that we, in the discussion that we had, is what kind of city do we want to be 5 years from now? What do we want to see happen, you know, 5 years or 10 years from now? And what specific steps can we take to make sure those things happen? And one of the processes as the Chamber of Commerce president that we undertook last year about this time was developing a strategic plan so that we would have sustainability within the chamber, but also a vision, some kind of a blueprint, so that whatever we built, we knew it was part of a plan and it was all part of a common theme that everybody developed. And so what I would like to do is I'd like the new council members and myself, I'd like you, the rest of the council, to please give us a couple of months to assimilate into this new position, learn a little bit more about the city, its function, and you guys have had the benefit of. And I would like to, sometime in March, have a mini retreat where we have a discussion that we begin to formulate a plan, and in that plan or strategic vision or whatever you want to call it, we will begin to identify those kind of things that we want to see in Othello. What kind of community do we want to be? What kind of people do we want to attract? What kind of business is going to benefit our community? How do we want it? Do we want to be known as the marijuana store capital of Othello, of the state of Washington? Or would we rather be known as for something else? So these are the kind of things that we as a council, we're looked to from the community to have these kind of discussions, set deadlines, set goals, and then actually go about the business of accomplishing them. So what that means is, as you know, Ken had said in that meeting, we can just run the city, we can pay the bills, we can do the usual stuff that we normally do as a community, but what we'll do is, to use a phrase that Wade had given me, was is that we can admire the problem for a long time, but we never do anything about it. And so the problem becomes quite admirable, but where's the solutions? Where's the leadership to take it, you know, into specific concrete steps that will bring Othello to the type of community that we want to see? Othello has done some great things. Othello has some, you know, I mean, you look at the facilities in the community, you look at different things about the community. They're good. They're excellent. And what I'm talking about is I think we can do more, and I think we can do better, and I think that collectively we're going to find out in this process that it isn't just the city Othello government that's going to have this vision. it seems like that the AC, Adams County Development Council, is in the process of doing the same thing. Ken is on that board, and maybe you could speak to some of the things that, ACDC is looking at right now.
Of course, you know, we've been pushing to become a trade-free zone, which we just got commissioner approval at the first of the year. So that will help attract businesses to the county. If you took about a five county area, and Adams County is right in the center, we were the only county that was not a foreign and trade free zone. But with the collaboration of the county commissioners and the port district, we were able to accomplish that now, and we're going through the process for that. That's a great tax benefit for a importing, exporting business. We continue to host different webinars with different businesses, and just not business, it's we've also hosted some with planning on communities. I think you were part of a couple of those, Sean, with Roger Brooks. Very much on building your communities and getting them out further than our small little circle, getting them out state and national wide to pull attention to us. And we've got a great board in place right now, and like I said, we're just starting to click pretty good. The county last year had over $42 million of new buildings in just the county alone. So it is progress and work, but.
So, I guess, thank you, Ken. I think, Wade, did you want to add anything to that?
Not really, Mayor, just that, as you and I discussed, there's a lot of potential here, but we need to have a overall vision to really achieve the potential that Vela has, and that's something that you and the council are gonna develop.
Okay, does anybody have any comments about that? Anyone else? Be thinking about it, because there's a lot of power sitting in this room, and we intend to unleash it. So, okay. At this time, I will accept the department head committee reports. And item number four, is there any unfinished business that needs to come before the council tonight? Any new business?
Just really quick, I would like to invite all the council members and anybody in the public where the Adams County Development Council is having their yearly stakeholders meeting. Thursday noon at the, Wednesday. It is Wednesday. At the Nazarene Church here in Ofello on 10th Street.
Thank you.
And lunch will be provided for all that attend.
I'm sorry, going over the agenda, number three was committee reports, not department head reports. Is there any committee reports that someone wants to give to the council at this time? Gina?
I do. I was just trying to think if there was any committees that have met, and other than our union negotiating, which is still in the process, I don't believe I've been on anything.
All right. Thank you.
Conference.
I'm sorry, Mike.
We had the audit entry conference.
Yes. Okay.
It was the only committee I know.
Yeah. Ongoing negotiations with the police department.
Okay.
They meet, I think, on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. All right. Then with that, I would like to go into executive session. The The council will now adjourn at 8:15 p.m. to go into an executive session pursuant to RCW 42.30.110(1)(b) to consider the selection of a site or the acquisition of real estate by lease or purchase. The executive session is expected to last 10 minutes?
15 minutes.
Thank you, Terry. And no action will be taken during the executive session, and no action will be taken following the executive session. Okay? With that, I would like, what staff is going to stay present? Wade and Terry, and that's it. Okay, the rest of you, other than the council, are excused.